and praise you, Lord. Say this, I am.
Who God says I am.
I have.
What God says I have.
I can do.
What God says I can do.
I am a born again.
Child of God.
Filled with His Spirit.
Forgiven.
Accepted.
Child of God.
Praise God.
Think about it.
Think about it. Think about it.
Think about it.
Woo!
Nothing
can separate us from
the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Nothing.
Not even me.
Can't separate
myself.
Praise God.
Praise God
for that.
We probably
tried along
the way, haven't we?
Separate
ourselves.
All right.
Well, we've been
focusing
on God at home
this month.
And,
you know,
the idea is that
we hear
the word and
we take it
with us and we
incorporate
it into our lives.
And actually,
I've heard some people talking
about
experimenting
with some of the
things we've been talking about
and,
you know, trying them out
at home.
First thing we talked
about was
the conversation,
the
communication at home.
And,
talking about
God at home.
Sharing your highs
and lows. Sharing
what?
Sharing your highs and lows.
Yeah, sharing
your highs,
the highs and lows
of the day,
which is a good way of getting
started
of
talking about
the right things.
You know,
communication is a,
somebody said,
is the
backbone
of
a relationship.
So
if you can't talk,
obviously
it's going to be difficult
to get along.
So
it starts from
there.
Our
communication
with God
and our communication
with each other.
And,
you know,
we said, even
if you're the
only one
there,
what
you're saying, what
you're thinking,
and then the
communication
happens with
all the different
ways to communicate
these days,
still
makes a difference in
all those things.
Then we talked
about reading
and that
we need to be
reading the Word
every day
and
studying
into the Word
and not
only the Bible,
but also other
books
about
the Bible
and just,
you know,
increasing our learning.
We always
stay in school,
stay after
it, praise God.
Even
if you're slow
readers like some
of us,
you can still
continue to
move on in
those things.
And then
we talked about
prayer,
communicating
with God,
praying
for each other.
All this
should be happening.
This should be
not just
something we
do when we come to
church,
but
something we
do at home.
And
we find that
people
can even
do it at work.
Sometimes
you need to do
it at work,
praise God.
Praise God,
all these
things are important.
This
morning,
do you have something
to share? Nope.
This morning
the focus
is on
bless.
Bless.
I like
that
new song introduced
our...
Yeah.
New song
talks about
blessing.
It's almost like
we knew what
we were doing.
Praise
God.
There needs
to be a
blessing.
We need to learn to
receive blessing
like we were singing
and also
to
give blessing.
And
probably we're
either giving
blessing
or cursing.
Right.
When it comes down
to it.
So
I was looking up
the word
blessing
in the Bible,
and
it is
a two-part
word in the
Greek,
in the New
Testament,
which
means, the
first part
means well,
the second
part
talking,
so
speaking well
of.
In fact,
the
word
that's
translated blessing
is where
we get our
word
eulogy,
when
you speak well
of someone
who's
passed
on.
But hopefully
you don't wait until
somebody passes
on,
but
speak well
of them while
they're here.
Strange
that we
would wait
to do that.
And
here's some of the
meanings
out of
Vine's
dictionary.
To praise
and to
celebrate with
praises,
obviously
that's
addressed to God,
particularly
addressed
to God.
We
praise Him.
And
of course,
we only
do that
at church.
I
mean,
you know,
really
when you
understand
the value
of that
and
how
valuable
He is,
certainly.
But
it certainly
can
fill your
car
with
praise.
And
certainly
should fill
your house
with praise.
And
even when
you're at work,
you know,
and
you
shouldn't stand
on your
desk and
shout it
out
probably,
but
you know,
you
should enjoy
praising
God.
And then
it also
means to
invoke
blessings
on a person.
Speak
blessings
on
someone
else.
And what
we're going to
find out is
that
not just
everybody
that's making
you happy,
but
whoever
it happens
to be
that's around
you.
It also
means
to
consecrate
a thing
by solemn
prayers,
to
to ask God's blessing upon a thing, to ask God to bless someone, in other words, and to cause to prosper, to make happy, to bestow blessings upon. You know, their prosperity certainly is biblical to be thinking of prosperity as monetary and doing well off that way. But when people around you are blessing you and you're blessing them, that's wealthy. That's doing well too. That's prosperity. Praise God.
Okay, so, you know, talking about blessing, why should we do it? Obviously, you know, with Wayne and I, it's always going to go back to the Word. Whatever we present, hopefully, you know, we're choosing to look to the Word to back it up. And so if we look in the very beginning and look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says this phrase more than once, I think, in Genesis 1, but in Genesis 1, verse 28, it says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them," he's talking to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So we see from the very beginning, God spoke blessing. You know, so much of the religious church talks about God cursing, and you know that all the negative stuff, you know, the storms that happen, you know, God's bringing down His judgment, you know, that's bringing curse, and God does not curse. God only blesses. You can't find any place in the Bible where it says God cursed somebody. It's just contrary to who He is. You gonna find a scripture that says that?
You're doing good.
Okay. And so that's the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 3, verse 26. It says, "To you first, God, having raised up your servant Jesus, sent him to bless you." Amen. That was why Jesus came, to bless us, not to cause us problems, not to make our life difficult, not to make things hard, but to bless us. Amen. It says, "In turning away every one of you from your iniquity." So if God is the source of blessing, God says we're supposed to bless, then obviously if it's that important to God and that's what He is about, blessing, then obviously we need to pay attention, because if He does it, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So if He's doing it, then we should be doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, don't you think if our attitude towards God was right, that we would be presenting to the world a God who's always good, always good, and always blesses? But apparently we haven't done that, because a lot of times the world, when they hear God, they think condemnation. They think, oh boy, more rules added and those kind of things. So we're going to have to do a good job of living that way and being presenting God that way. Look at Matthew chapter 5, in verse 44. Excuse me. Jesus is speaking here, and He says, Matthew 5, 44, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Praise God. So not only does this something that God has given us a role model to follow, but He's also told us to. We have specific instructions to bless. This is another one of those areas where we can't afford to be just going by how we're feeling at the moment or how we feel like we're being treated at the moment, but we bless. What happens when you bless, even when you're not being blessed? It has a way of finding its way back to you. Go ahead.
That's the thing with this verse. It's, you know, we're not just supposed to bless the people that treat us nice. You know, it's everybody. You know, and it's very, this is very apropos in the days that we're living in. You know, this election stuff and the anger and the hatred and the cursing, not curse words, but the cursing that is not just coming out of the world's mouths, but the church. And speaking curses against each other and putting down people. You know, it's just amazing to me how, you know, society is, and talk shows and that it's like it's a schoolyard full of 5 and 6 year olds, because all everybody does is put somebody else down. You know, supposedly we're supposed to be adults and above that, but it's just that anger and hatred is just spewing out. Well, it should not be for us. I don't care who's running. I don't care if you like him or not. You know, you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to vote who you want to vote for. I may not agree with you, but that's your choice. And I have my choice. And I should keep my mouth shut if I don't agree with you. You know, and not tear you apart, and not tear the who's running for office apart. I mean, it's just, that's America today. Just tear everybody else down. I'm perfect, you know, but everybody else is wrong. If you agree with me, then you're right. That's pretty much the attitude of America. I think the best job in the world, I've told Wayne this numerous times, I think the best job in the world is these talk shows, these people that their whole job is just giving their opinion. Yeah. Isn't that the best job? You don't have to be right. You just get to give your opinion and get paid for it. I think that's the best job there is.
Okay. And they're purposely making people angry with them.
Yeah, so, and, yeah. And they purposely make people mad at them. Yeah.
What a job.
Yeah, what a job.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. So if you hear that Diane has a program on radio, tune right in. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God. He's declared promises into our life. We should agree with those things.
Another word for promises, if you look it up, the definition, another word, translation of that is blessing.
Blessings,
so
yeah.
The blessings of God.
And the idea is not that we just receive the blessings ourselves, but we bless others with those same blessings. We're given more than enough. Isn't God more than enough? So since he's done that, obviously his idea in mind was to not just use it all ourselves, but to give it out to other people. Give up more than enough peace to give out peace to other people. Then you can be a peacemaker. Praise God.
Praise your Lord. James chapter 3, verse 8. It's another admonition to us. You know, what are we talking about? It's, you know, the word comes right out and tells us what we're supposed to be doing. In James chapter 3, verse 8 says, but no man can tame the tongue. In other words, I can't tame your tongue, you can't tame my tongue, okay? But I can tame my own tongue, doing it God's way. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men. What did I just talk about? That's a lot of the church today. You know, oh, God's wonderful, but I hate the rest of you because you don't agree with me, okay? Who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, in other words, church, you know, people that are born again, these things ought not to be so. Amen. You know, we are called, God called us, is a blesser, and he has called us to speak blessings. If you don't like what's going on, either do something about it, pray about it, or just keep your mouth shut. You know, that's the options that God is giving us. We are supposed to declare blessing. And it's not, you know, what Wayne, the scripture Wayne just shared about that, you know, all the promises of God are yes and amen. So when you declare a blessing, you have a right to it. If you're a born-again child of God, you have a right to declare whatever Jesus paid the price for over yourself. It doesn't matter how much sin you're in. Doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you messed up a zillion times. You still have the right, because of Jesus, to declare blessings over your life. And if you want your life to change, that's a good place to start. You know, I don't feel righteous, but I am righteous. I declare I am righteous because Jesus paid the price and I am righteous. I am prosperous. I've got bills up the, you know, up the kazoo, but I don't care. God says I'm prosperous. God says all my needs are supplied. So I speak blessings over myself. It's not just, and then it's not just speaking over yourself. You know, we're taking this to not just ourselves, but the next thing is to take it to our kids, take it to our family. If you've got children, if you've got grandchildren, we have a responsibility. It's something that Wayne and I did not do. We did not know. You know, we were relatively positive raising our kids, but we did not speak blessings like, you know, the things that we've been reading about and understanding. But it's just, you know, the testimonies I've read about the people that have done this with their kids and just how much their kids, you know, it helps your kids to prosper. It helps your kids to be successful. Same thing for your grandchildren. If you're speaking a blessing over them every day, whether they're in your presence or not, you know, just think of, you're speaking God over them. Amen. You know, not take a show of hands, but how many of you think in your life, you ever had anybody in your life speak blessings over you?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with, a lot of the garbage that we have to deal with is because all we had heard spoken was a negative. All we heard, and if it's not a blessing, it's a curse. You know, it's not, you know, you don't have, it's not some voodoo thing that you have to do. If you're not speaking a blessing, you're speaking a curse. Anything negative comes out of our mouth, it's cursing. It's that simple. But we are called to bless.
We were talking about, you know, a lot of homes have a little plaque, and it says, bless this house. And there was a little song that, bless this house, oh Lord, we pray, make it safe by night and day. And we think about it. Here's a plaque, Lord, bless this house. And the people inside the house are cursing each other all the time. Not necessarily with the words, you know, that we consider cursing, but putting each other down. Obviously, there's a very limited amount of blessing that God can bring to a home when the words in the home are that way.
Do you have something to share, Rob? We'll get to that. Keep listening.
Yes.
Okay, and then after the next one is, you know, it's spouse. You know, I know there's days, if you're married, if you've been married very long, there are days you do not feel like blessing your spouse. But God says bless your spouse, you know. God says bless your family, bless your kids, bless your parents, you know. Big blessing, you know. If you're just so mad at them you can't stand it, well, just, you know, stop, count to 10, say, okay, God, what can I say that's good? And it may not be to them, but speaking about them. You know, so we have to change. If we want our lives to change, if we want our church to change, if we want our nation to change, we have to start speaking blessing. Amen. Because what's our next step? We're supposed to speak blessings over our congregation. This is your congregation. This is your body. And so we're supposed to be speaking blessings about each other and to each other. And what are we, you know, the positive, not the negative, you know, not tearing people down, but lifting them up. And once again, if you can't say anything good, you know, what's the old saying? Don't say anything at all. Just keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Hey, if you do that, then you accomplish change. You know, you conquered the evil tongue that is in your mouth. Anyhow, now, okay, then the next one is the community. You know, we need to speak blessings over our communities. We need to speak blessings into the economic realm, and the blessings into the political realm. You know, we need to speak the positive. That's where it starts. It doesn't out there, okay, if we just vote the right person in, everybody's going to be better. I'm sorry, if you don't got it yet that it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen.
Amen.
It's what comes out of the church's mouth.
Yeah.
That is what's going to change. That's what's going to change the atmosphere in our community, in our nation. That's where the power is. There is no, you know, there's no victorious, you know, overcoming positive stuff in the secular world, in the world. Can't think of the words I want. But anyhow,
society.
You understand what I'm saying. It's just, you know, in society.
Right.
It's what's coming out of the church's mouth. Why is it, you know what? You're not going to like this one. Why is America where it is? Because of the church. Because the church, because of what the church has spoken over the years, because of what the church has done and not done. That's why America is where it's at. It's not because of the Democrats. It's not because of the Republicans. It's because of the church.
Amen.
So we can make a change. We can start speaking what God says.
Amen.
We may not see it. We may never see it in our lifetimes. But God says this about America. God says this about our communities. Let's line up with what God says. So that's the hope of making a difference. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sorry, I just got on my soapbox there. Okay. Here.
Amen. And I get to follow up from
yes.
that. Huh? All right. Praise God. I was thinking that Brother Hagin shared, Kenneth Hagin, some of you remember Buddy Harrison. Buddy Harrison married his daughter, became his son-in-law. And when that happened, at that point in his life, Buddy Harrison was not born again. He was really out in the world. And it was told somewhere along the way that he would get him at home, in Brother Hagin's home, and get in his face and yell at him and put him down, and Brother Hagin would just stand there and pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. And this is, you know, the man that's been preaching the word all those years. But it had an effect, and Buddy Harrison came around and became a great, great minister himself. So praise God. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 18, you probably have underlined. Jesus speaking again. Matthew 18:18. Here's the way the Amplified reads for this verse. Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So it's not we declare and then heaven catches up, but we look in heaven and see what's declared there, what we know about heaven, and then we declare the same thing here. And when we're making declarations like Diane was talking about the nation, about the community, about our home, about whatever it happens to be, we are either releasing things that we don't want to be released, or we're speaking things into that situation that we want to be in the situation. We have a lot more authority than we've given ourselves credit for.
Amen.
And, you know, when we're speaking, when we go by the way the situation is at the time and speak to that situation, we keep the situation the way it is. If you want to change it, we start with changing the way that we think and changing the words that come out of our mouth. We need to learn to speak the right words.
Albert Einstein said something along the line of, you know, you can't expect to get a different result when you keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So if we want things to change, one of the places where we need to change is what's coming out of our mouths.
Yeah.
And every one of us are in control of what comes out of our mouth. And you can't say, oh, well, I couldn't help it. Oh, yes, you can. Every single one of us. How can, you know, over the years, you know, it's amazing how someone who just, you know, swears a blue streak, you know, just every other word is a swear word, until they get in front of certain people or certain situations, then there's not a swear word that comes out of their mouth. Or, you know, the example given in the past, you know, the man that abuses his wife, you know, whether it's verbally or whether it's physically, and, you know, and but then he goes and meets up some guy that's, you know, that's you know, a lot bigger than him. You know, I can't control beating up my wife, but here I am in front of a guy who's a foot taller than me and 200 pounds, you know, muscular and the whole deal. All of a sudden, I can control my anger, you know. It's up to us. We control what we do, what we say, what we think. It's totally our control.
Yeah. So if you're arguing with somebody about the same things all the time, maybe you need to change the argument and argue from a positive standpoint. James chapter 1.
Or just shut up.
Yeah. Let's see, which one of us is the leader here? Oh, it's you, isn't it? Yeah. James chapter 1, verse 25. James 1, 25, again in the Amplified Bible. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, or we could say the Word of God, your Bible, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking in it, perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. So we're saying, you know, read your Bible every day, find out what it says. It's interesting that even when you don't feel it, the word gets into you. And then it's there when you need it. So then we have something to declare. We have blessings to declare about ourselves. We have blessings to declare about our family. Blessings to declare about our community and so on. How do we find these blessings? We find them in the Word of God. We say what the Word says because we've been faithful to not just look in it and then, well, what was that about? But we're faithful to think about it and meditate on it and speak it. And it begins to come to pass in our life, and it comes to pass in our family's life, and changes the atmosphere of your home, changes the atmosphere of your church. You know, if you've ever been in a church where there's negative things spoken all the time, negative things taught, you can feel the atmosphere of that when you step into the church. It fills the atmosphere. So, but we can change our words. We can change. We can speak blessings.
Amen. So how do we go about doing it? Well, first let's start with November. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24.
Let's not hurry out of this too fast.
Let's not speed this thing up. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. And if you guys, anybody's come from a denominational church, I know our church, we didn't hear this, but I know denominational churches, you're more apt to hear this blessing spoken. But this is one of the first ones. This is like a classic blessing. And if you want to just use this one, then go for it, you know. But there is no standard blessing. It's, you know, you have a whole Bible that's full of stuff that you can speak as a blessing.
Yep.
But the one in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So you can just choose that one. And I know the one book that I read, it talked about this is the blessing that a father spoke over his kids their whole lives. That this is, they just, every night, this is the blessing that, you know, they spoke over their kids. So, like I said, you can use this one. You can start here.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Because the most widely used form of doing a blessing is verbally, you know, as we've been talking about. It's what comes out of our mouth. So that's one way of blessing others is by the words that come out of our mouth. And that's probably the biggest way. But there is variations of this. One of them we look at is Jeremiah chapter 29:11. You know, it's a very familiar scripture for a lot of you. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I have, that I think about toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So it even starts before it comes out of our mouth, our thoughts. You know, we choose to think blessing thoughts around the people around us, choose to think blessing thoughts about ourselves. You know, because the more we change our thinking, the more easier it's going to be to have the right words come out of our mouth. So that's another way that we can, you know, see that we're doing blessing.
Yep. Mark down the scripture, Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the last part of that verse, there's speaking there, and somebody remembers, here's what Jesus said. And Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. There is a blessing in giving. Man, it seems like the nation has lost sight of this, but then, you know, even it's interesting that you get somebody like Gates who amassed all those riches, and then he started thinking, you know, I need to give something back, because there's a blessing in that of not just holding everything to yourself. And certainly we ought to be an example of that to the people around us. Diane's saying, you know, and it's true. It starts from the church. It starts from what the Christian people are doing. And when the Christian people are withholding instead of giving, then we affect society that way. We're going to affect society, but let's be positive about how we affect them. When you understand the blessings of God, giving is not a difficult thing. It's a wonderful thing. You don't want to withhold because you want to be like a conduit where it comes in, and you know, you're a distributor. You, Lord, where do you want this to go? Obviously, there's more than enough for me here. Where do you want it to be distributed to? And we take care of the kingdom of God that way. Praise God. Mark chapter 10. So giving is a way of blessing, and also physical touch is a way of blessing. Obviously, needs to be correctly done. Mark chapter 10, verse 14. Remember, the disciples were turning away the kids. Jesus doesn't have time for you. Verse 14, Mark chapter 10. But Jesus, when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
What they think is physical touch is a hug is a blessing. Amen. A kiss is a blessing. A smile is a blessing. You know, it's not just, well, I can't. Yeah, we can. Every one of us can smile. I know sometimes it's questionable, but yes, every one of us can smile. But whatever the situation calls for, we can do something. Sometimes, you know, you can bless someone just by putting your hand on their shoulder in passing. It can be a total stranger. And it's just, you know, it's a non, what is it? It's a politically correct touch, put it that way. But, you know, we can bless people just by our touch. Why? Because Christ is in us. The power, the love of Christ is within us. So anytime we touch somebody, what is in us is being transferred to whoever we touch.
Yeah. You see, that's another reason why physical abuse is such a miserable thing, because you've taken something that's supposed to be a blessing and made it a curse and turned it around the wrong direction. Even in, just mark down in Scripture, Luke 24:50, the last thing that Jesus did as he was leaving his disciples was he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And then he was gone, raised up in their midst, praise God. But he blessed them with that physical touch. Now, when I was in a hospital, years back in the 80s, for a month, and one of the nurses there, she understood this principle, whether she could verbalize that or not, but she understood it because she liked to, you know, do the bath and do those things, to put her hands on the patients. In a proper way, obviously, but she understood that she was blessing, that there was a blessing that was associated with that, that the that even healing power is distributed by that. What does the Bible say? Lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. There's a transfer of anointing that it something good can happen in the midst of that. So we
and
need to use that.
But we don't even have to pray out loud.
Right.
It's just that because of who's in us and the power in us, it's just laying hands on people.
Yeah, it's a good point that we don't. It doesn't have to be a verbal prayer, but just a transfer of anointing. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you look at the another word for blessing, and again back in vines, it's by invoking, or actually this one, one of the books we read, by invoking, invoke or invoice the name of God, we invite him into the picture with our loved ones and our loved ones into the picture with God by using our voice. By using touch, by using a smile, by these different ways, we're bringing people that we want to be blessed together with a God who blesses, and a God who blesses together with people who we want to be blessed. So we need to learn how to do this. Let me go on to the next one.
Okay, so when do we do it? When's some possibilities? We've talked about this some, but a little more specific. If you have kids at home, one of the classic times to do it is bedtime. You know, we've talked about, you know, with the series this month, you know, sharing the highs and lows and then, you know, getting the word in and praying. Well, blessing, you know, bedtime is also a time for blessing. You know, the last thing, anybody but a child, if this last thing you're speaking over that child is a blessing, you know, you're much more likely to have them get a good night's sleep than if they're hearing something negative. Or if they've heard stuff negative during the day, but you're speaking a blessing. You know, it transfers the parent's love. It transfers so much positive, you know, when you bless your kids. It's the last thing before they go to sleep.
So again, who came up with that, if I die before I wake?
Yeah, I don't know who did that prayer, but anyhow, we skipped that one. Yeah. Another time to do it is in the morning. You know, especially you've got a family that's, you know, people going six directions. You know, if you can take the time to speak a blessing as your kids go out the door, you know, to speak a blessing. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be, okay, we've got to get in our prayer position. It's just, you know, speaking the blessing. You know, have a great day. That's a blessing. But, you know, when you bring God into the picture, it just gives it that much more, you know, the potential of having success, you know, a successful day and a positive day. So when in the morning, and once again, this isn't just for parents and kids. You know, if you're married, speak a blessing to each other. You know, speak a blessing. If you're by yourself, speak a blessing over yourself. You know, whatever situation you find yourself, there you are. But don't say, well, this doesn't apply to me. You know, I just live by myself. No, as we started out, you need to speak blessings over yourself for the day. So, you know, this is another time. You know, another thing that as we were talking about this, we realized that part of intercessory prayer is speaking blessing. Especially if you're praying for another Christian, if you're praying for another child of God, everything that Jesus paid the price for is theirs.
Yep.
So when you're praying for them, you don't have to say, please, God, oh, God, you know how bad it is, and you know, go on and on and on. No, God says this. I speak healing power into this person's body. I speak prosperity, whatever it is. I speak peace because it already belongs to them. You're just agreeing with what the word says, what God says about them. And that's part of it. As I said, that's part of intercession. Part of your personal confession. You know, we've talked about, you know, speaking about yourself, speaking to yourself. What does God say? Well, I don't feel like that. I don't believe that. Well, start by speaking what God says. Start your day out. End your day by saying what God says about you. I am righteous. I am loved. I am accepted. I am prosperous. I am full of peace. I am full of joy. I have the mind of Christ. I am full of wisdom. Whatever it is you need, speak that about yourself and to yourself.
Amen.
Because you're agreeing with God. It has nothing to do with what you're experiencing. God said this because Jesus paid the price, so this belongs to me. So I'm going to agree with God, whether I can understand it, whether I feel it, whether I think it, but I'm going to start agreeing with what God says. And as I do that, then life will change for the positive. Okay, when you're leaving friends or family, you know, you're getting together for a meal and then you're separating. Well, take time to speak a blessing. Like I said, it doesn't have to sound religious. It doesn't have to sound, you know, all spiritual and everything. But just speak blessing when we're separating, you know. Let's see, where's the other one I have? And then the other one, the last one is instead of cursing our enemies. And I know, I will not tell you that Wayne and I are doing all this, you know. But this is what the Word says. We're responsible to share with you what the Word says, and we have to work at it just like you.
Yeah.
Because the last one is that instead of cursing your enemies, we're supposed to speak blessing. And I'm pretty good about that, except when I'm in a car. And then that's where I'm still working on that one. Still working on it. Speaking blessing on those people in those other, in that other car. That, well, we won't go any farther with that. But you understand where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
You know, I'm thinking even the family comes over every other Wednesday night. We have dinner together. And when everybody's leaving, we get a hug from the grandkids. And it might sound a little contrived, I love you or whatever, but but there's something about just going through and saying that. My family, we were close to each other, but we didn't do that. We didn't hug growing up. We didn't do those kind of, and I think all that is important.
Amen.
Because we're putting a blessing out there. When we get into November, the scripture of the month is going to be Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So we need to tell ourselves we can bless God. Now, just write these, just in closing, you write these, if you want to write these scriptures down that you can use for blessing. I put together a blessing to speak over you this morning, and I based it on these scriptures. Psalm 127, verse 7 and 8. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Philippians 4, 7. And 2 John, verse 3. Did you get those? Need to repeat it? Psalm 127, verse 7 and 8. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Philippians 4, 7. And 2 John only has one chapter, verse 3. Here's the Elston paraphrase, okay? I declare that the grace of the Lord Jesus be upon you, be with you. The peace of God guards your heart and mind, and the love of God watch over you and keep you from all harm. In Jesus' name.